Would you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks for your word, a word that is troubling, but yet also a word that is filled with hope, because we are reminded that you are in this world with us. If we are just ready and have open eyes, ears, hearts, and minds to notice it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. A kind-hearted fellow was walking through Central Park in New York, and he was astonished to see an old gentleman with his fishing rod fishing over a bed of beautiful lilies. He thought, oh, what a sad sight. The poor old man's fishing over a bed of flowers. I'll see if I can help. So the kind fellow walked up to the man and asked, what are you doing, my friend?
Fishing, sir.
Fishing, eh? Well, how would you like to come have a drink with me? The old man put away his rod and followed the kind stranger to the corner bar, ordered a large glass of beer and a fine cigar. And his host, the kind fellow, asked him, and he felt good about helping the old man, and he asked, tell me, old friend, how many did you catch this morning? The old fellow took a long drag on his cigar, blew a careful smoke ring, and replied, you're the sixth today, sir. Now, I know that fishing is all about waiting and being patient. But I think this story gives new meaning to waiting, in that the old man was waiting for a different kind of fish. He was waiting for suckers. But I also know that people who fish use that time to sit, to think, to reflect on many things in their life. Now, I'm not a fisher, but I think in many ways this idea of fishing is a wonderful way to capture the spirit of Advent. Now, to be clear, I'm not talking about sports fishing where you got to go out and get something every time you drop the line in. I'm talking about the person who goes out, sits on the bank, and just throws the line in and just leans back against the tree and waits for the bobber to bob. Just enjoying whatever the day and their minds put before them. One of the important things as we come to Advent, as I tried to share with the youth, is to be clear in our minds what exactly we're waiting for. Person fishing is waiting for the bobber to go up and down. We know that what we're waiting for is not the first coming of Jesus. That happened at the incarnation, or the first Christmas. We know that we're not waiting for the second coming. Because in many respects, that happened on Easter with the resurrection. Jesus came back from the dead. And we know that it's really not the third coming. As Jesus said, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am also. So Jesus has been coming and coming and coming for many, many, many years. What we're waiting for then is basically like all those past events, or those past advents of Jesus into the world since the first birth to the present. What we're waiting for is the expectation that that will happen in the future as well, day in and day out. As well as what I would call the great advent, when Jesus comes and takes us to himself, that where he is, we might be also. In other words, advent is a recognition of what can happen and does happen now for those who have eyes to see it. It can happen now. Today, it can happen tomorrow, or the next day, and in the day we join Christ at the great banquet table. Advent is a now and future happening. But what we are waiting for is. And in many ways, that informs our answer to our question, are we ready? No, I don't have all my Christmas gifts bought. I'm not ready in that respect. But that's not the important respect. Am I ready to see and understand and to know Christ when Christ breaks into my life? That's the Advent, the expectation that we have with this waiting. And by looking for Christ in our daily lives, we prepare ourselves to see Christ in the future, the final Advent. Think back with me for a moment. This past summer into fall, I think it was, we all were captivated by the story of the Chilean miners trapped underground for 70 days. Now, because of how they came out of there, I firmly believe that many or all of them expected that they would be rescued. So they continued to be kind and gracious, caring and loving to each other through those 70 days. They did not want to come out and then everybody hear what gross misconduct they might have perpetrated or whatever. They wanted to do right by each other. Their hope for the future served the present filled with and help and filled the present with hope and civility. Last week we talked about how the last Sunday of the church year, or the reign of Christ, which is last Sunday, asked us to look back. Look back over the past year. Look back over a lifetime. After you've heard all of these scripture readings, after you've heard all of these sermons, what do you think about this person? Advent now switches us to looking forward. Looking forward to the rest of today, tomorrow, the next week, the next month, the rest of our lifetime. Who do we expect this man to be a part of our life in the present and the future? If we don't expect that any day Jesus could come into our lives through the gift of the Spirit and the faith and the lives of others, and he tells us in Matthew, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss the reality of the Son of Man in our midst. It's really simple to understand when you think about it. But I know as you do, it's difficult to do. When we wake up tomorrow, do we expect that it will be another regular day in the life of you, filled with the grind or the fears? Or do we wake up and expect Jesus to somehow come to us that day? Our Isaiah passage comes from what we call 1st Isaiah. Now, 1st Isaiah preached a lot of judgment, trying to get the people of Judah to straighten up. But they didn't. And 2nd Isaiah talks about them going in, and so they go into exile. 2nd Isaiah is while they're in exile, teaching them that the exile will have an end, and they will go back to their land. And then there's 3rd Isaiah for when they get back. But in the midst of this judgment of 1st Isaiah, we have this wonderful passage where Isaiah is saying, you will be judged for all that you are doing wrong as a people, as a nation. But there will be a day when people will stream to Mount Zion, which is the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, and you will be great again. You will be known as the home of God. where the truth is spoken. But sometimes we have to do some thinking, some waiting before we get there. And Matthew talks a little bit about that, how to wait. And he uses the teachings of the end times. Now, a lot of movies and a lot of books have been written about the end times. And they certainly paint a fearful picture. One will stay, the other will be gone. As the book of Matthew talks. And it's out of that fear then that the writer of the Gospel of Matthew wants people to understand. They need to really be looking for this Jesus to come. I recall in elementary school in the 60s, we had bomb drills. When the bell rang, we would go out into the hallway, we would get on our knees, and we'd put our foreheads by the wall on the floor with our hands over our head until the principal came through and said, okay, everybody back in. And we had to be quiet. Now, had we truly been bombed, I don't think that would have helped that much. And had it been a nuclear bomb anywhere close, which is what we were afraid of because of the problems with Cuba and so forth, the Cuban Missile Crisis, yeah, definitely it wouldn't have helped. But for many of us, and I always remember, oh my gosh, is this a real thing? Being fearful. And kind of that fear, kind of like those end time scenarios. But at the same time, going through that drill kind of gave me a little bit of hope that maybe somebody thought if this happened, we could live through it. Because otherwise, why do it? And so I kind of think of Advent as being the annual drill for us that reminds us that we can have hope because we have experienced Christ in the past. And we can experience Christ in the future. But it's the drill that reminds us, we've got to keep our eyes open. We've got to keep our minds open. Our ears. While the readings in the mood are somber during Advent, they are about hope. Hope that we are not in this thing called life alone. And challenges to be ready. To reflect on what Christ would like us to find us doing and being. And in doing so, we greatly enhance our chances that we will see or understand Christ in our midst. So are you ready? Do you take the time to reflect on what Jesus expects of you or wants you? And to reflect on whether you have the expectation that Jesus is a part of your life or going to come into your life? Do you think on a regular basis what kind of person Christ wants you to be? Coming to church is only part of it. Each of us needs some alone time with God, one-on-one. I hope each of us will find time to do that, to reflect on that. I'd also urge you to come this Tuesday night and share in our discussion about ways that we can reclaim Advent Christmas from the corporate interest. And we heard a lot about this morning in our fourth Sunday focus, how we don't remember Christmas being nearly as corporate-minded as it is today. And I'm sure my parents didn't remember Christmas in their days when they were young being as corporate-minded as it was in my time. But we will be talking about how we can use this time to be reconnected to the Christ who comes. And with the wonders of the internet, you can go online and Google Advent devotionals. And there are many that you can choose from. Or talk to me. I will help you find something. But I would like for you to make a promise to yourself and to God that you will work this season to be ready. Ready in your heart, ready in your mind. May this Advent season find us fishing for the presence of Christ.